looked in your little notification of what's happening in the month in January, you'll have seen that this morning someone was due to speak with a lovelier name than mine, Daniel Martinez Castello. I did swap emails with Daniel, and he said the most important part of today's sermon was going to be the accent. So, sorry, I can't put a Spanish accent on all the way through. We've been looking at a series on baptism this month. We looked at baptism and forgiveness, baptism and spirit, baptism and word we're going to look at today, and baptism and mission next week. Not so much looking particularly at baptism, the act of, but looking at our baptized life in Christ, and its connection with water baptism, and its connection with these different elements that we're going to look at. So in 15 minutes, I'm going to race through, okay, so hopefully you can hold on to some things that are going to be helpful to you. The reading that I'm going to refer to is in Acts chapter 8. I'm not going to read all of the passage, though I would like to have read it all. But we're going to focus just on a couple of verses. You may well know it, that it's the story of Philip meeting the Ethiopian eunuch and sharing with him from the scriptures, and how the Ethiopian eunuch responded to what Philip shared with him and was baptized. And the verses we're particularly going to look at are verses 35 and 36. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture that the Ethiopian eunuch was reading and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And that's all wrapped up with a much bigger story. It's a fantastic story. And I think it's a privilege to be able to share on that passage, because it's one of the most dramatic experiences of someone coming to a knowledge of Jesus Christ in what seemed like a moment in time. Although we don't quite know how long Philip was sharing with him about Jesus on that long road through the desert, and then responding immediately to what was said to him and making a commitment to follow Jesus. Before we get into that story in depth, I wanted just to duck a little bit sideways, talking about the Word, as in Jesus, the Word, before we get into the Word, as in Scripture, the Word. There are 5 points. I've kind of got a good 5-point sermon this morning, so we'll rattle through the points very quickly. I think it's important because it wasn't just the letters on the page that Philip was explaining to the Ethiopian eunuch, but there was something behind those letters on the page that somehow made an impact in his life to make him say, "Look, here's water, why shouldn't I be baptized? Why shouldn't I respond to what you shared with me and make a life-changing commitment? Because what you said has stirred me up inside so much so that I feel convicted and compelled to respond to it." The written word is incredibly powerful, isn't it? I'm sure not just the Bible, but the written word can be incredibly... I'm pretty rubbish at emails sometimes, which is why we instigated, I think, the Alma email policy. Whatsoever's good, whatsoever's lovely, whatsoever's true, whatsoever's good report, write those things, otherwise bin it. Because words can carry so much. But it's not just the words. It's what was in that word that was shared with Philip that so moved him. And I wanted to just explore this a little bit. Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. In John chapter 1, we read that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was conceived by his Father. He was the firstborn of God, and he was also the uttered Word of God. He was the conceived Word and the uttered Word of God. Through Jesus Christ, God has spoken to us. God's revealed his mind to us through Christ. He's the Word, the living Word, the Word that we can hear, listen to, and respond to, as the Ethiopian responded to him. You see, the Word, as in God's intention, isn't just the letters on the page, isn't just a reasoned hope or a spoken intent, but there's something behind Jesus, the living Word of God, that is the outworking, the proclamation, the experience, the potency, if you like, of God's heart to us. And it's that that I think moved that Ethiopian eunuch. I'm going to jump around my notes in a minute. I'm going to go all over the place. I'll get excited about this passage. Because Philip was a man just available to God. And God plucked him up and said, go to a desert, run by the side of a chariot for a while, then get in and talk to some bloke that you actually probably wouldn't like to talk to because he's someone that's, in your book, a bit of an outsider. Yes, Lord. Would you say that today? If God said to you, I want you to... Where's the nethermost parts of Bristol? I don't want to insult anyone this morning. Go and... All right, I went... Where? Henley's? All right, we'll keep it safe. Go and talk to someone in Clifton, because it's a bit of a dodgy area. And just go out of your way, because I want you to go out of your way. Now, so many of us are so tied into our ways of doing things. It's a little bit like the service this morning. It's lovely to be out of our way, that we should have Leon and Rachel and Joel and others share from in our meetings. It's wonderful to be out of the way and not in our own patterns, that God can disturb us so much so that we find a deeper connection with him. And as Jesus was this word that God spoke, so in that sense, I wanted to connect this. Jesus, in a sense, was baptized into this world. I'm not sure if I can get this through in terms of its concept. The word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo. And in some of the writings before the New Testament was written, we begin to understand how it was used. Aesop, in his fables, used the word baptizo when he talked about a fox that had his tail dipped in oil, baptizoed in oil, dipped in oil. Diodorus, a historian, about 60 BC, wrote, "Most of the wild land animals are surrounded by the stream and perish, being submerged, being baptized." Submerged. Josephus wrote, "The ship being just about to be baptized or submerged." The word was in common usage by people who were writing in those days. And in that sense of being dipped into, being submerged into something, Jesus, the living word, was submerged into our world, that he should taste our world, that God should bring him out of this world, if you like, through his resurrection, that we should be able to, through his spirit, experience the same journey, if you like. That same journey of resurrection, of being in this world with all its limitations and the sin that surrounds us and the hurts that surround us, and then know something of the resurrection life of Jesus through God's Spirit, being baptized into and out of this world. Sorry, I'm going to really play with your concepts just through this. But that sense of the living word came into this world that we should live because he came. Because he allowed himself to be baptized into this world, we can also be baptized into his life and into his being, into his living word self. The living word. It's interesting that as the Ethiopian was reading those words of scripture, how he struggled with his understanding. And, you know, so often we struggle when we read the Bible, perhaps, in our understanding. I can remember growing up as a boy in our family, we used to always pray this Script Union prayer, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things out of your word." Psalm 119, verse 18. We used to have Bible readings and prayers every evening before dinner. I used to hate those times as a child. But, you know, I remember them now, and I'm glad of my heritage in that sense of having had that foundation and platform sown into me. "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your word." And the living word began to come alive to the Ethiopian, as Philip shared with him. It was a bit like the experience of the people on the road to Emmaus. Didn't our hearts burn in us as he shared with us from the scriptures, from the prophets through to Jesus? Wonderful. Let's look at the second aspect of the word. I hope you're going all right on this, Ruth, of the slides. The word of God, the potent word of God. Acts is a wonderful book. It talks about the potency and the potential of the word of God. If we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you'll remember that saying of Jesus where he said to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And if you follow through the Acts of the Apostles, right at the beginning, Acts chapter 2, that outpouring of the Spirit in Jerusalem, And as you read through in Acts chapters 5 to 8, we see how people came from the towns outside Jerusalem into Jerusalem to hear the word of God. And then the disciples were scattered throughout Judea. And then in Acts chapter 8, we read about Christians in Samaria hearing the word of God. And here was this man, this Ethiopian, this ends of the earth person, hearing about the word of God. In ancient, in Greco-Roman tradition, ancient Ethiopia was known as the furthest outpost of the known inhabitable world. It was miles away. It was on the edge. But can you already see that God's word, God's will, God's potential of his son Jesus Christ, God's potency of his intent that we should know him was happening in the first 8 chapters of Acts. It had gone to Jerusalem, it had gone to Judea, it had gone to Samaria, and now it was reaching the uttermost parts of the earth. Praise God that what Jesus spoke had already become true. He was also not only a man who was on the edge of the known world, but was also a man that really should never have been allowed, in Jewish views anyway, to become part of the church of God. According to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 1, he was a man, being a eunuch, banned from ever being part of the people of God. The Jews thought of eunuchs as monstrosities and worthless people. And still today, there are people that are to be reached with the gospel, aren't they? Whether they, in your or my minds, are worthless, or whether they're just beyond our reach, whether they're in places that we don't know of because we've never been there. But there are places and people that God wants to reach with his word. The potential and the potency of the word of God is unbridled. And praise God, it's reached you and me. Thank God that it's reached you and me. And if you're still fiddling with it, well, make a decision about it. Sorry. Because it's something not to be handled lightly. We've had an absolute feast this morning. Really, if you stop and think, in the last hour and a half, we have had an absolute banquet of hearing, singing, praying. It's been wonderful. I bet, Julian, when you were in Solomon Islands, you'd have thought, an hour and a half of that, man alive. I don't know what the church was like. It was probably fantastic in Solomon Islands. But we've had a feast. And how much you and I can feast on the word of God, that potential of the word of God. The third thing, the discerning word of God. It wasn't a random encounter, the Philip with the eunuch. It wasn't a random passage that the eunuch was reading. I believe that God knows your heart and my heart so intimately that nothing random happens to you. And as he was reading that passage in Isaiah chapter 53, I wonder if it spoke to him in his deepest place about the sheep dumb before his shearers, about the Lamb of God that was rejected, despised of all men. And maybe he felt like that somewhere deep inside, although he was a nobleman. Maybe somewhere inside he knew something of the rejection, something of the hurt of being despised. And I think God knows us so well that he speaks to us and our condition so intimately that and discerns what we need and what we need to hear, that nothing is an accident in God's heart. And as he listened and was provoked to react, there was that sense of the word of God that was living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, just kind of reaching into his position, into his life, into his thoughts, into his condition, and changing his response. Fourthly, it's a spiritual word. He didn't understand the Bible. It was almost frustrating when that phrase, when he said, "How can I understand it?" I don't know how he said it. It's written in a way, but I wonder if when Philip said, So, fella, do you understand what you're reading? Well, how can I? Unless someone explains it to me. To give him his credit, he was reading the Bible, which I think for many of us, if we're frustrated with not understanding the Bible, maybe if we started by reading the Bible, moving on to that frustration might be a step in the right direction. But praise God for frustration. I want to understand. I'm not content with reading this thing that feels like the valley of dry bones. I need it to come alive. And praise God for Philip that was there to help him understand the word of God. We need more Philips. Don't know if your name's Philip. If it is, praise God. If you're a woman, sorry. But we need more Philips. We need people that are prepared to get alongside children, adults, young people, old people, and help them understand the Word of God. If you've known God, if you know Jesus, if the Holy Spirit has changed your perception of God and this world in your life, offer yourself up. Don't indulge yourself in your own private world, your own private life. I'm happy, thank you. Married couple, 2.2 kids, or it's gone down, isn't it? 1.7 kids, two cars, two cats, five fish, three meals a day, pension stacking up, thank you very much, all signed, sealed, delivered and settled. Oh, Jesus. If God can stir you up to be a Philip, to be someone that's prepared to help others see what there is in God's word, to provoke their understanding, to bring the scriptures to life. We need people to help in with the children's work. We need people to help with youth work. We need people to help everywhere, don't we? We need Philips. God, raise up Philips, I pray, in this church. And so that there are many people that are prepared to go into a desert run alongside chariots. Lastly, the Word of God is a defining word. Defining because it defined that eunuch's life in that moment of time, and we don't know, but I hope for the rest of his life. There was that moment where he made a conscious decision. Why shouldn't I be baptized? He stepped over a line. He made a commitment. He gave himself to what he had heard. And that moment defined his place in God's kingdom for eternity. It's a defining word. What defines your life and my life? Do we allow the Word of God to define us, to make us who we are, to create the people that we've become? I hope so. I hope that we say, Lord, will you define me as a person? I don't want this world to define me. I don't want to kind of just run with the way this world seems to be running. You know, I think this world's becoming more cynical by the day. It becomes almost more selfish and more cynical. Lord, please define me. Make me a gentle person, as Joel was praying. Make me a gentle person, make me a kind person, make me a long-suffering person, make me a person with self-control, make me a person with some of the fruits of your spirit, not the fruits of the spirit of this world. A defining word. Kind of just over 15 minutes, but I'm going to finish right now. The thing I love about the Ethiopian eunuch was that one phrase, why shouldn't I? Why shouldn't you and I respond to the Word of God? Why shouldn't you? We spend all our lives perhaps thinking, well, why should I? Because I'm all done and dusted, thank you very much. Or actually, I don't normally respond on the 18th of January. Is it the 18th? My eyesight's gone balmy. It's a bit early in the year. I've got my studies coming up. Why shouldn't you respond to the Word of God? Why shouldn't you? This morning, if God's whispering something in your heart, will you do something for me this year? I want you to make yourself available. I want you to step out from your normal pattern of living and do something different. Why shouldn't you? There's no reason other than our own timidity, our own fear, our own caution. But you know, that Ethiopian eunuch stepped out from a place where, naturally speaking, he was a forgotten person as far as the religious community of Christians in those days, but was a man who wanted to worship God, a man who had been to Jerusalem to worship, a man who wanted to honour God, a man who wanted to find God, a man who wanted to know the scriptures, wanted to seek and search them out. And because of his determination, we read about him in the Bible. Wonderful, isn't it? That he was a man that God touched in that wonderful way. He didn't just understand the scriptures as Philip explained them to him, but he responded to them and put into practice what his heart was saying to him inside. And perhaps I just wanted to leave you with that thought, and perhaps one other thought in a moment. But why don't we commit ourselves this year to follow through in heart-based commitment and practical application what we know God's speaking to us inside or whispering to us. Be a Philip. Get alongside other people. Help them. Explain to them what little you might know, what little I might know, and help them understand more about God's love. And lastly, the Ethiopian eunuch was an unexpected guest in the Christian community. I'd love us to be more and more open. I want to be more and more open to the unexpected. Sometimes it's the unwanted. You know, we've got an opportunity as a church during February to do the soup run, and all the home groups are getting involved. I know not everyone in church is involved in home groups, but here's an opportunity to reach out to people who you might not normally reach out to. People who need to feel the extension of the love of God in a practical way. It'd be great to get more people involved during February, just as a demonstration of our Christian love, of our Christian expression, reaching out to people who are perhaps unexpected people that we might come across. In some ways you might, in a quiet part of you, think, well, actually, I'm not sure I want to, because I'm not sure I can handle it. And Darren shared something very poignant to us the end of last year about his meeting of someone who is on the streets. But what better place is there than to show an expression of God's love to people than people who have got virtually nothing in life? Perhaps as we close, I'm just going back to Liz, but think of these two things. Why shouldn't you respond to the word of God this morning, what God's whispering to you? Why shouldn't you and I stand up and be Philips this year? Philippas, if you're worried about a boy's name. But be those people who are prepared to get alongside someone else and help them see that Jesus is a wonderful Saviour and bring them to a place where they can put into action their own internal commitment. Amen.